My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
I was just walking by your room, and you know, I was thinking, boy, it's been a long time since we've had the little father-son chat.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
I bought some magazines. Do you want to just flip to the center section? Well, this is the female form.
Andy Dirt Johnson.
This is Hustler, and this is a much more exotic magazine. Look at the expression on her face. You see that? See what she's doing? She's kind of looking right into your eyes, saying, hey, big boy. Hey, how you doing? You see?
Right. And Brendan Sprague.
Shave is a magazine I'm not too familiar with, but again, if you flip to the center section, well, you see the detail that that they go into in this picture here.
Yeah.
It almost looks like a tropical plant or some underwater thing.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Okay, that was good.
Yeah,
see you at dinner.
I'll see you at dinner.
The Fan. Hey, let's do this. Final hour, Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube as we are every weekday. And thanks for everybody for being a part of our Wednesday. Upper morning is off to a great start. The Dirty Poll rolls on. I have a feeling this one will be a little less contentious than Miami. I don't think Kansas State pisses anybody off. Miami, they piss a lot of people off. Kansas State, not so much. As we preview the number 18 team in the Dirty Poll, the Kansas State Wildcats joining us now is Tim Fitzgerald at Life of Fitz on Twitter. Go give him a follow of the Go Power Cat 24/7 Kansas State site. Tim, good morning to you. I'm going to start with a random one. We were just having a conversation about what it would be like to live in Manhattan, Kansas. Do you live in Manhattan, and do you enjoy living in Manhattan, Kansas? Do we have him?
About 50,000 residents plus 20,000 students. It's just beautiful.
Sorry. I missed your answer there. We didn't pod you up. Can you start that again? Sorry, we've had a little bit of dead air.
Okay. Yeah, it's absolutely beautiful here.
Yeah.
I mean, it's 50,000 residents. It's a college town, a true college town, in the rolling hills of the Flint Hills. And, yeah, I absolutely love it here. I mean, I chose to live here, come back here, and work here. It's just a great community. Great communication between the campus. We've got a U.S. military in Fort Riley right next to us. And you know, the community, it's a fun community, guys. It's a great college town, and it's great on game day, I'm telling you what.
Oh, I bet, man. We were talking about, of all the trips that you could get, the kind of random, you know, non-conference, or hopefully for Oregon State fan, maybe a conference game at some point, that's one that's like on the bucket list we'd love to go to. When Chris Klieman was hired, I'm curious what the reaction was. Was it an overwhelming, this is the right move? Bill Snyder was such a legend there. Obviously, he had the brief retirement and then came back and then had, you know, another great run where he got to a Fiesta Bowl. What was the reaction when he retired and you had to move on and got a guy from North Dakota State? And how far has he, if at all, exceeded expectations? Because he's done a remarkable job.
That's a great place to start because, you know, I think it was time for Coach Snyder to retire, and I think everyone knew it. It took him a while to realize it. And the program is, you could see the erosion happening and big trouble ahead in the next couple of years. So they, you know, he retires and, you know, go through the search process, and some great names popped up, and it came down to Neil Brown, who's now at West Virginia, and Chris Klieman. And we all expected him to pick Neil Brown because surely he's not going to take the guy from the FCS level that's one of his best friends in the world. I mean, how weird is that? Mm-hmm. And that's what he did. So there was some pushback. You know, you just hired your friend, da-da-da-da. And it didn't take long for folks to realize, oh, this guy's the real deal. And he really is. He goes about things in a much different way than Bill Snyder. But at the end of the day, what they put on the field and their core beliefs and how to build a football program in a place like Manhattan, Kansas, where there isn't a huge recruiting base, are very similar, and similar in being effective, too. So it's worked out well. He's beloved in town. Gene Taylor, the AD who made the hire and also hired Jerome Tang for basketball, is revered as a god because every hire he makes seems to be wonderful. And
a guy can't miss.
This is called the happiest place on earth, and right now the fans are pretty happy with KC Athletics.
I mean, yeah, but you mentioned the basketball program, the success they've had. You got Klamen now 8 wins, 10 wins, 9 wins the last 3 years, so it's obviously trending in the right direction. A preseason top 20 team. Looking at his staff, I'm curious what the reaction was. I remember, you know, when Oregon played Kansas State in the Fiesta Bowl, Colin Klein was the quarterback there, and he was, you know, he was a stud that year in college football, and Oregon came out on top of that game. But then he transitions into coaching. He was there for a long, I want to say 6 or 7 years, and eventually worked his way into the offensive coordinator role, thought of one of the better young offensive minds. What was the reaction to his departure, and how have they gone about trying to replace him as the offensive coordinator?
Yeah, it was a little shocking. I mean, he had Notre Dame made a run at him the year before, and A&M came in. You know, eventually the opportunity was too good. I mean, $2 million approximately to be an offensive coordinator, that's incredible money, but also it makes you probably skip a couple steps in getting to a head coach position. If you're a successful offense coordinator in the SEC, you're going to get hired, especially when you're a guy as, you know, as known as Colin Klein and a good soul. So that was a little shocking. And again, surely Chris Klieman won't promote his buddy, Connor Riley, the offensive line coach, to offensive coordinator, he'll go find one. But no, he did that, and he was offensive coordinator in the Pop-Tarts Bowl. They won that game. They looked good. And they brought in Matt Wells, who was former head coach at Utah State and Texas Tech, another friend of Chris Klieman, to be associate head coach and co-offensive coordinator and coach those quarterbacks. So I think people feel like he did a good job of filling that breach that was left when Colin left. And I think fans are fired up to see what Connor Riley and Matt Wells do together as the coordinators.
Yeah, we're talking with Tim Fitzgerald at Life of Fitz on Twitter, previewing Kansas State, the number 18 in the preseason Dirty Poll. He's a part of the 24/7 site there in Manhattan, Kansas. You know, Kansas State quarterbacks, whether current or former, are going to kind of shape the landscape of college football this year. Will Howard, who was there for 4 years, transfers away. He's now the guy at Ohio State, and their title hopes might rest on his right arm. And you bring in a guy who played last year, but now as a true sophomore in Avery Johnson, I'm assuming going to be the runaway freight train at the starting quarterback position. I'm curious, just the move, how that went about. Was that a, hey, Will, thank you for your service, we're moving on, and Avery's going to be our guy? Was that a, Will, I want to go find a chance to maybe compete for a national title, and Ohio State's a better opportunity there? How did that go this offseason, and how is Avery Johnson looking in his first kind of full fall camp and summer as the starting quarterback?
Well, I think everyone in that football complex, and particularly in the quarterback room, knew where this was headed in 2024. I mean, Avery's skill set and natural leadership skills were just undeniable. In fact, I think the coaches regret not playing him a little bit more last year, despite Will being a proven quarterback that just won a Big 12 title the year before. They gave him every chance in the world. And sometimes it might have cost the team a game. There was a couple games where if you played Avery, maybe they win. But they stuck with Will. Will's a great young man, a great quarterback, but Avery is viewed as a generational talent. And every scholarship quarterback in that room last year transferred. And I think that tells you everything you need to know about where this was headed. So they had to rebuild the room around Avery, bringing in some new players and kind of starting from scratch. So it's a really inexperienced room, except they did bring in Taquan Roberson from UConn to kind of push him a little bit as a fifth-year senior. This kid he ran for 5 touchdowns in the appearance against Texas Tech, tied a school record, and also has a really effective arm, has a live arm, But I think the best thing about Avery is he's as level-headed as a young man as I've ever dealt with. He's a natural leader, and the coaches and his teammates rave about him. Last year, he was a true freshman, and the seniors viewed Avery as a team leader.
Wow.
And that tells you an awful lot about where he's at. And plus, he's got that marketable, you know, long, curly hair that I'm jealous of. It's unfair to us hairless that he gets that much, but he's an awesome kid. His dad had a great quote. I always say this quote because this tells you everything you need to know. But Avery is the adult in the room, even if it's his own house.
Wow.
That's just kind of how this kid's stable. But you know, he's also a kid. He's going to have fun and go make some mistakes, but boy, he's going to have a lot of highlights on SportsCenter.
Yeah, as somebody who is trending towards the hairless category as well, I am also very jealous every time I see a highlight of him and see those long flowing locks coming out of the back of the helmet. We'll let you go on this one, Tim. Yeah, you look at the Big 12, and we've done a handful of segments on that conference of just it's going to be absolute chaos this year. It's expanded. You got Arizona, who I think is bringing a lot of talent. Oklahoma State's always relevant. Utah, we've seen up, you know, close what they've done in the Pac-12 last couple of years. Your in-state rival Kansas has big expectations, and that's not even listing a handful of other schools. How do you feel about just the landscape of chaos in the Big 12 this year, and what does a successful season look like for Kansas State? What does a disappointing season look like for Kansas State?
This is a weird thing we're getting into here because they added four schools last year, and now they add four schools this year. So half of the 16 schools are right. are new within a 13-month period. It's the landscape has changed a lot. But I don't think the nature of this conference being hyper-competitive will change. It was that way over the last 4 years. In fact, over the last four Big 12 championships, there's been seven different schools in it. And Oklahoma State was the only one to repeat, not Oklahoma or Texas. So it's been a little bit chaotic for a while, and it will remain that way, and kind of chaotic in an unknown way. One thing you can count on about the Big 12 is some school that you have written off to be a lower half or even bottom school right. is going to rise up and start beating the crap out of someone, and you're going to go, what is going on? This conference is a lot of fun to cover. It's probably the most chaotic conference to try to bet on. I can prove that with my losses, and it's fun to cover. It's fun to watch, and I think that's what the Big 12 selling point is. I saw a stat the other day that over the last eight of the last 9 years, leaving out the COVID year because that crap was a mess.
Yeah,
50% of Big 12 conference games have been decided by one score.
Wow,
and so half the time you turn into a Big 12 game, the chances are that game's going to go down to the last possession of the contest. And that is fun for college football to watch.
Oh, it's perfect. I love those stats behind it. The chaos, I'm on board. I can't imagine all these new members. I know there's two schools in the Northwest that are hoping that there are two new members next year in the Big 12 as Oregon State and Washington State are trying to find their way in. Maybe Florida State and Clemson are there next year. Who knows how much more chaos you got coming. I can't wait to watch it. Tim Fitzgerald, at Life of Fitz on Twitter, covering Kansas State. Thanks so much for the time for the preview on K-State out here in Portland, man. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. Anytime I'm available.
Absolutely. Tim Fitzgerald, great stuff from Manhattan, Kansas. That's a great town to live in. Big fan. I do think Avery Johnson is one of the more under-the-radar players in the country this year. He has the ability and the potential to immediately kind of plant his flag as potentially the best quarterback in that conference. I mean, you look up and down the Big 12, I know Shedeur Sanders has all the hype in the world. Cam Rising is back for another year. Noah Fifita had a really good year last year at Arizona. The people, and he just highlighted it. I mean, Avery Johnson was a stud coming out of high school. He played immediately as a freshman, despite the fact they had a fourth-year senior at starting quarterback in Will Howard, who is now going to be the starter likely at Ohio State. They are thrilled with this kid. He's a local kid from Kansas, and they think the sky's the limit on what he can accomplish. So Kansas State's got a great shot at being one of those teams that wins the conference and finds their way into the college football playoff because of that. Big expectations. Chris Klieman, it's so interesting how small markets like that can find a way to be so sustainably successful in football. Like, it's just, it's so unique that as you have been there, I have been there. It is in the middle of nowhere. There is nothing around Manhattan, Kansas. And they have been a relevant program largely. I mean, they've had their dips. They've had their ups and downs. Every small school is going to. But from the peak of Bill Snyder in kind of the mid to late 90s, early 2000s, a little bit of a dip. And then 10 years later, he brought them back to a Fiesta Bowl. And now here they are the last 3 years with Chris Klieman, who they got out of North Dakota State. 8 wins in 2021, 10 wins in 2022, 9 wins last year, and they're expected to compete for a conference championship this year. They were in the Sugar Bowl 2 years ago and played Alabama. So very exciting time for Kansas State football, and that will wrap up your Dirty Poll preview for the day. I will let you know at the end of the show who the two teams will be on Friday. So we're going to try and double dip as well on Friday. I'm out tomorrow. Swag's heading to Hawaii. So we're going to double dip again on Friday. I'll let you know who those two teams will be as we try and catch up here on the Dirty Poll. Let's get to Statter Story. Back into college football coming up at the bottom of the hour. Statter Story is next, though, on 1080 The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Crunch the numbers.
There's 6,127 students at Addison, 58% of which are girls.
So
that's 7,107.32 boobs.
Break the news.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Is it a stat or a story?
Evidence based on olfactory prowess is inadmissible, in case you didn't know.
This is Stat or Story, a monumental judgment call with Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Come on, don't miss.
The Fan.
All right, Statter Story time. We'll get back into college football coming up bottom of the hour. One prominent coach with comments about his roster that I think highlight how healthy the sport is in a few regards, at least. So we'll get to that coming up here in 10 minutes. Statter Story time, though. Do you want to start today, Swag?
Yeah.
Okay.
I got two of them.
Okay.
So,
you fire
the
away.
The theme here, Monday was the 30-year anniversary
of the famous Major League Baseball strike slash lockout that led to the cancellation.
Yes, 94.
Of the 1994 World Series.
30 years ago. Wow. So some people have claimed baseball's never, I mean, you had the steroid run there in 98, but baseball's, for some, never recovered.
Never recovered fully. So, your first number is 232.
232.
Is that the number of days that the strike slash lockout lasted before they reached agreement on a new deal? Or is it the weight in pounds of the largest living lizard in the world, the Komodo dragon, as it is World Lizard Day?
Oh, man.
Or I should say the largest verified specimen of the Komodo dragon.
Dirt logic would lead me to say, I don't remember specifically if they played a full 1995 season or if they started somewhere into the year. I was too young to remember. I remember there not being a World Series. And I believe Griffey was on pace to break the home run record that year or in the mix to do it. And then they shut down the season.
Just hold on to that for later.
Okay.
We got more on this.
But I also feel like the dragon has to weigh more than 200. Like, it has to be. Those things are big. Komodo dragons are massive. Don't they have to weigh more than that? But I'm going to go story. Give me story.
This is a stat. 232 days, by far the longest work stoppage in Major League.
So how much of the next year? They had to miss a chunk of the next year then,
it
right?
It started into April.
Because if this was now 232, yeah, you're breaking it coming up on a year.
It went a few weeks into April before they got it cranked back up. No, the 2022 lockout lasted 99 days.
Yeah.
Everything, the 81 strike was 50 days. I think that was in the middle of the season. There was a split season that year. There was a first half and a second half to that season. But yes, no World Series for the first time since 1904.
Yeah.
Attendance dropped some 20%. They had a record average 31,600 average attendance for games in 94. It dropped down to 25,260 in 95.
Those greedy
owners,
man.
They wouldn't get over 30,000 until 2000.
Unbelievable.
The Expos had the best record in baseball. They were drawing like 28,000 a game. Boom, went to crap. They became the Washington Nationals.
They did, and a handful of years later, they moved.
Yep.
Unbelievable.
So, no, the largest dragon or lizard in the world is the Komodo dragons. They average about 150 pounds, six or 7 feet long, but the largest ever verified specimen, 10.3 feet long, 366 pounds.
I knew it had to be more than that. I'm an idiot. I should have trusted my instincts on that one. What was I thinking?
I don't know.
Those are massive things. You go ahead and fire your next one off, and then I'll do the last one.
Yeah. All right, we'll stick with this. Your next number is...
I like the strike theme, man. I was too young. What were they fighting over in 94? What was the primary cause of it?
Money. Same thing.
Sure, but was there any, like, just more for salaries, a higher... I mean, because there's no salary cap.
No, I think it was... I think it was a bigger piece of the pie.
Okay, revenue sharing, that kind of thing. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. You mentioned the home run leaders. So your next number, 43. Is that the number of home runs that Matt Williams, giant legend,
damn right, back as a third base coach,
had at the time of the strike? This was before Maris's 61 was still the record.
Yes, before 98.
And he was on pace for it, in the realm of it.
Yeah.
Or is it the number of miles off the coast of the island of Öland that a recent shipwreck was discovered by Polish divers that had about 100 bottles of very well-preserved champagne and mineral water?
Ooh.
That the Swedish government shut them down from extracting, claiming the shipwreck is an artifact, a relic, a historical artifact.
So they won't
relic.
Let him pick it up? They won't let him bring it up?
Yeah.
What? Okay, 43.
43.
Now, I remember Matt Williams was unbelievable that year, and I remember him and Griffey were on the brink, and that was a conversation in 94 when it all shut down. Let's see, there'd be about a month and a half left in the season, give or take, 43. I think he's slightly less than that. I'm going to go Story. Give me Story.
It is a stat. Matt Williams had 43 home runs. He was on pace for 60.
How many did Griffey have?
Griffey had 40.
40, okay.
On pace for 57. Bagwell had 39. Frank Thomas had 38. So there was...
Somebody could have got hot and broken the record in 94.
Somebody could have set the home run record. That's now, Bagwell got hurt later that year, so he...
Sure. Steroids.
Whatever. But yeah, Junior and Matt Williams were having some fun there.
Yeah.
The other thing that was fun from that year, at the time of the strike, Tony Gwynn was hitting .394.
He had a shot at .400.
Well done, baseball. Was after a crappy April. So after the month of April, it never dropped below .376. In the 10 August games he played... before the strike, he hit .475. He was 19 of 40
Unreal.
In 10 August games.
Unreal.
And .400 watch was on.
Unbelievable. Well done, owners. Well
so
done.
The Expos could have stayed in Montreal.
Yes.
Tony
Griffey
Gwynn could have
broke the record.
Griffey could have had the
Expos could have won.
Run. Yep. But no.
No. Can't give him more money.
So this is from the AP. A 18th or 19th century champagne. In the bottom of the Baltic Sea, Polish divers finally found this ship 37 kilometers off the south of the Isle of Öland. And so they found all of these preserved bottles. There wasn't a label anymore, but on the cork they could see an R. So they're trying to determine, they figured the goods could have been on the way to either the Royal Table in Stockholm or possibly the Russian Tsar's residence in St. Petersburg. And as they were getting excited to try to extract these, the Swedish government stepped in and said,
no.
No dice.
So they're just leaving them at the bottom of the...
So they got to stay down there with the shipwreck.
What are we doing?
Now, I don't know what they'll do. I mean, Lord knows if those things are preserved, what sort of value they could get.
Oh, God, yeah. Are they accessible to, like, any random poacher? Like, can somebody take some gear down there
so.
And go grab it?
So you're 37 kilometers off the coast, but it's 190 feet deep.
Okay, that's pretty deep.
So you got to have some equipment.
You got to know what
you're doing.
You can't be a diver and go grab
down
that stuff.
But this was from Magnus Johansson. County official told the AP, you must not damage the ancient remains, which also include taking items from the wreck. For example, champagne bottles without permission of the county.
Mm.
The champagne bottles are a fantastically well-preserved find that gives us a snapshot of shipping and life on board at the end of the 19th century.
Interesting. My folks are heading to Sweden soon, and I'm excited to hear all of them. They're going for like a long time. Sweden, Norway, Denmark, they're doing the whole thing. Incredibly jealous. I think we should bring it all up. I want to try some of that champagne, see how good it is, man. I bet it's delicious. Last one for you. I'm horrible at this game. We'll see if I can stump you. Your number is 450. 450.
450, all right.
Is it the number of rushing yards that Dylan Gabriel had last year at Oklahoma in his 13 starts? Would have been 13 starts, I think. Or is it the amount of money that somebody charged all of the guests who attended his wedding because he spent $200,000 on his wedding?
$450. It's always tough with these round numbers.
Very specific.
Very specific. Now he spent $200,000. $450. That's a lot of people coming to the wedding, but if you're spending that much, I don't think you're inviting that many people. I think it's more than that, so I'll say that's Dylan Gabriel's yardage.
All right. Let's go 3 for 3 here. Gabriel ran for 373 yards last year, so close, 12 tutties, 373 yards. There is a man out there who might have to cancel his wedding after all of his family and friends declined to attend because he decided to spend $200,000 on his wedding And in the invitation, he basically said, if you want to attend my wedding, you have to pay $450 to attend.
No.
And all of his friends and family have said,
yeah,
nope,
see ya.
We're not going to. And he is now going through the process of having to cancel his wedding.
Come on.
Can you imagine the reaction on your face if you get an invite to a wedding and said, oh, hey, by the way, here's the bill?
If I, you
weddings
know.
Suck anyways, unless it's like a close friend or a family member.
Yeah.
Weddings are not that enjoyable.
Look, I've done them on both sides. First one was the big, huge thing. We had a ginormous cater, and it was, okay, who's chipping in between parents, and what are we paying for? And we wanted to have a big party, and we wanted to do it up, and
all
of those sorts of things, and it was fantastic. And you just want your friends and family to be there and experience it and have a great time.
Yes.
That's it. Not close to 200 grand.
But expensive.
But there were five figures in the final bill.
Those are expensive.
So it was that. Second time around, it was, I was proposed to.
Yeah.
And said, okay, well, if we're going to do it, let's do it. And in 2 months, we figured it out.
Got married.
And we basically did it.
Easy peasy.
And it looked like a cocktail party at the holidays.
Yes.
And,
that's all you need.
Both were great and both were memorable. So I just can't imagine you or me inviting Sprague. And on the invitation,
by the way,
RSVP.
Here's my Venmo.
Please put your credit card number. It's $450 a person.
I mean, just it is so pretentious to think that people are that excited and
eager here's where we're
to
registered.
Celebrate your wedding. Yeah, well, and by the way, get a gift as well, right?
Neiman Marcus.
And I'm going to make you travel somewhere, probably. I'm going to do like an exotic looking, you know, then it's worth it.
Like at the palace at Versailles or
absolute
something?
Absolute insanity to think that people would be willing to spend like... it's just breaking news for anybody that's getting married. Like, people don't want to go to your wedding. They just, like, unless it's a close family member or it's a very close friend.
Yeah.
You're hanging out with 97% of people that you don't know, that you've never met, that you will never see again in your life. There's an open bar. You have fun. I'm not saying they're all a drab. But it's not like you're not eager to be like, yes, I get to go to a wedding tonight. And, you know, so if the idea of charging people to then also attend your wedding is hilarious. We never ended up having one because we got married in COVID. And so we had all these, we planned for 2 years for a wedding and then ended up getting canceled. And we got married at the beach in front of like eight people.
We're still waiting.
In the middle of COVID. And so it was, I think back with a mix, every time I get sad about not being able to have my close buddies and my family be there for a celebration. The people that truly matter to you, I get sad. And then I see stories like this, and I'm like, God, thank God I didn't have to go through that because it was just nauseating to plan for that long.
You can have one of those, think, you know, 10 years out.
I still have never seen. My wife got a wedding dress. I've still never seen her wedding dress.
That's some sort of renewal of the
house. I think we'll do at some point, get the thing sized. But we were going through all the sizing, and then the world shut down, and we thought, well, we can't get married. And so she was like, well, I'm not going to finish doing the sizing because we can't even get married. So there you go, $450. You're getting a bill, man. You're coming to my wedding and you're paying for it. How about that? Two for one marketing scheme.
Taylor
right there.
Swift better be playing his wedding.
Yes, if you're charging me $450, who's the musical guest?
Okay.
Then I'm thinking about it. Other than that, get the hell out of here, man. Hey, one coach in college football with comments about his roster that I think highlight a strength of the sport right now. That is next. Well, there's a lot of consternation about the direction that college football is going, and I totally get it, especially being in this part of the country where there's two fan bases that feel left behind and not a lot of optimism about the direction of the sport. I understand the fears, and I totally get them. I do think there is one positive out there about some of the changes that we have seen, and it was highlighted by a big-time college football coach in the SEC. So yesterday, Kirby Smart was doing an interview, just his normal post-practice press conference, and he was asked about his roster, where you at going into the year, kicking off here in a couple weeks. They opened their season, I believe, with Clemson in week one, if I'm not mistaken. And he was just asked about where they're at as opposed to years past, and he gave an interesting answer that I think highlights one of the few positives of the current format and structure of college football.
We got a long way to go as a football team. We are nowhere near where close to where we need to be. I feel like we have less depth than we've ever had, and that's kind of a common theme talking to other coaches I talk to. I call it the deterioration of football because every year we've been here, I feel like we've had more players capable of going in and play winning football, and every year that goes down. So we've got to keep working to increase that number.
I mean, that is a absolute byproduct of the NIL system and the transfer portal, that Georgia is now unable to basically sign the best players in the country. You cannot hoard all of them and pay all of them and play all of them. And you are going to have guys who are really talented players who look around and say, I can wait a year and a half or two more years to start here, or I can go start immediately at fill-in-the-blank school and be a great piece for them. And, oh, by the way, get paid as a product of it. Like, college football, when I grew up, and I'm sure this was the case when you grew up as well, like, it felt like there was a decent amount of parity. Like, I'm going to go look up in the early years of the BCS.
Oh, I don't know about that. I think there were different teams that were dominating back at the time, but I mean, you know the Nebraska program well. Go back to the 70s and 80s. In it was about the program and the coach and the mystique of it.
Well, you also didn't have to actually win a national title. You could just claim a national title because you didn't play in the actual game.
Well, there was that, too. But just the mystique of going somewhere and being part of that program, guys were willing to wait 2 or 3 years to have their shot. Plus the fact that most of the NFL players were coming from a small concentration of schools. And if you wanted to be on television, there were only, 15, 20 schools that you could go to guarantee that you were going to be on television at some point. So in 84, I think it was when the College Football Association sued the NCAA to get the TV rights back to the conferences. So now, okay, there's the TV burst, cable, sports TV comes in, ESPN, all that. Now I don't have to go to USC, Nebraska, Texas, Notre Dame to get on television. I might be able to stay closer to home. And then when you, now with, NIL, it's just another thing. The only thing about Kirby is the word deterioration. Come on,
that's hilarious. Yeah.
That's the entitlement crap that everybody hates.
Yeah, your roster's just fine. You're the number one team in the country.
Go recruit. If somebody wants to come there, you can't. All those schools now are having to rest. They can't rest on their laurels anymore.
No, and you also can't. You can't afford to pay everybody on your roster because somebody's willing to pay
that
them
part
more.
I love.
I guess what I'm talking about more so is the modern era of college football began, when you actually had a national championship game. Started in 1998 was the first BCS title. For the first 9 years that we had an actual championship game in the sport, there were 9 different national champions.
Yeah.
Tennessee won it in 99, to 98 season 99. Florida State won it the next year. Then Oklahoma, then Miami, then Ohio State, then LSU, then USC, then Texas, then Florida. You had 9 different, and then LSU looped back around in Florida, won another one. Then Bama broke through in 2009. For that first basically decade of the BCS era, you had essentially a different champion every single year. And that, to me, was when college football was at one of its peaks, because you had an actual national championship, not a contentious, we claim it, you claim it, we won one, you won one. You settled it on the field the way that it should be settled, and you had a different team every year that was winning. Then Alabama broke through and created this dynasty, and then we saw Clemson grab a couple, and now Georgia's won a couple. And so I think that has, to use his word, deteriorated a little bit in the sport. And I love the structure that we have right now that does not allow 2 or 3 programs in the country to hoard the best recruiting classes and the best players to a point where it feels insurmountable. Like 3 years ago, you look at Georgia and you just say, how in the world is anybody going to beat these guys outside of Alabama? They're the only team with a chance. They beat TCU in a national title game by 60 points. 60. They played Michigan, a team who finally broke through and won a national title in the playoffs a couple of years ago, and Michigan could get a first down in that game.
Yep.
And that was the gap. And then you fast forward a couple of years, Georgia is still the best program in the country, but they drop a game. They didn't win a national title last year. Michigan breaks through and wins. And to me, this highlights, I know there's a lot of concerns and fears about the direction the sport is going, and I get it. I am hoping, and this has always been my argument about the portal and about NIL, is that it will balance it out for the teams that are at the top. It's not going to flow downhill to the random mid-major programs. It is going to balance out at Tennessee and Florida and Oklahoma and use all the big programs. They're going to benefit from it. But if we can get to a point in the sport where you have 9, 10, 11, 12 teams that have a legitimate shot at winning a title every year, that's when the sport is at its best, and it has not been there in a very, very long time.
The playoff will force the best teams to consistently, for the span of 3 or 4 weeks, have to play their best football.
Yes.
So even though the schedule's in the bigger conferences now, you have more, more tough games in your conference. It goes from one or two to three or four. It's still, you're still going to get the Vanderbilts mixed in. You're still going to have...
Indiana's still playing football.
So the SEC and the ACC, there needs to be pressure put on them somehow to get to nine conference games if this setup is going to be in place for a while. I do hope the transfer portal settles down. That's the one thing. I hope it's just not as chaotic.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of that is a calendar thing, too. A fix of the calendar can make it streamlined far
easier. But I hope players, and maybe with schools, parceling out money now directly through the NIL, I don't know if they'll actually sign contracts that'll be multi-year contracts.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, hey, we'll pay you this, but you're going to be here for 3 years.
Yeah, you got to commit.
And then the players will go, well, you're paying me whether or not I start. There'll be that something. That will be much more professionalized.
Yeah.
But I would like to see the chaos of movement settled down.
Yes, and I think a calendar would fix that. Contracts would fix that, which I think are both. Those fixes are coming to the sport. Kirby Smart complaining that they can't hoard all their talent that they sign. That's good. I don't want them to have all of the best players in the sport. It's stupid.
It needs to be distributed.
Nick Saban famously used to say, being the coach at Alabama, it's like having unlimited first-round draft picks every year. I could go sign any player that I want, and I just bringing a semblance of balance to college football. Maybe we're not even there yet. Georgia might steamroll their way to a national title this year. I don't know how it's going to look, but I'm excited about that idea that there's a little bit of a balancing of the talent at the top of the sport. Kirby can complain about it all he wants, but I think it's great for college football. We'll close it up on a Wednesday. Send you on your way next on the Fam. All right, as we wrap up on a Wednesday, it is a little bit of a discombobulated week. So we all kind of book our vacations and our times off, and we do for the most part check with each other. And this week it got a little wonky. So Sprague's out the rest of the week. He's going on a camping trip. Thrilled, I'm sure. Swag is taking off tomorrow morning, flying to the tropical island of Hawaii.
That's right. And
he's going to be gone for a week in Hawaii.
And we'll be back on, I planned this perfectly. I'm coming back Friday the 23rd.
Ah.
I'll do the golf show on the 24th. Golf show.
24th, yeah.
And then I'm off on Monday the 26th.
That is well played. That's
the
well
money,
played.
You know, that's summer well swag continues.
Yes, that is well played. And then the next week is Labor Day. You get the, that's
we will all get
anyways.
Labor Day off.
We all get Labor Day off this year.
Yes.
A rare win for
a
us.
Rare
we did it.
Win.
We got it done.
Mighty Vandals and Bengals, not enough of a draw for management to haul our asses in here on Labor Day.
No. So there's a lot going on. Tomorrow I am off because they've been trying to wrangle me to play in the Cleveland Alumni Golf Tournament for a long time. Cleveland High School, shout out, go Warriors. And so I'm going to be playing in that. So I'm off tomorrow. Patrick Harris is going to be in tomorrow.
Ortner's in. Big Will.
And we're going to allow P. Harris of Florida to respond to all the allegations that have been thrown against him. We have made fun of him for his first pitch at the Pickles game.
Well, you should.
We made fun of him for his flip-flopping of fandoms from Cleveland to Seattle back to Cleveland. And so he's going to have the floor. It's his opportunity to address a lot of these concerns that we have with him. And so that will be tomorrow. We'll double dip on the Dirty Pole again on Friday because we got to do some catch-up. So Friday will be Arizona and Oklahoma State. So keep an eye out on Twitter for that. We'll send out those announcements, what time those are going to be, if you're curious on the previews for either of those two schools. Have a great time in Hawaii, man. Enjoy it.
We will.
Get some sun. Enjoy the beach. Do some snorkeling.
Hopefully we hook a big old fish.
Hook a big old fish. Looking forward to the pictures. Don't bring anything back. You always feel guilty. Like, don't worry. Don't bring it. I don't need anything.
No, before, when I go, like when it's a pilot's thing and I'm there on Christmas and I'm bailing and everybody else is, I feel a little
grinding
guilty.
Away. Yeah.
No,
this is summer vacation.
This is family. This is for us.
Yeah, don't worry about bringing anything back. Have a great time. Sprague will be back on Monday. I'm off tomorrow. I'll be back on Friday. P. Harris and Will Ortner will be in tomorrow. Sorry for the discombobulated schedule, but football season's almost here. We're cramming our final vacation days in. That will do it for us, folks. If you missed any of the show, we went to Miami and we went to Kansas State for the Dirty Pole today. If you want those previews, at Dirt and Sprague, at 1080 The Fan, 1080thefan.com is where you can find them. Thanks, everybody, for watching on YouTube. Make sure you like the video, subscribe to the channel. If you've not done so yet, somebody will talk. P. Harris will tomorrow at 6 a.m. I'll be back on Friday. Colin is next for listening to 1080 The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing.
He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.